Got it. Thank you, Diane. Here we go. On a Friday. John Curley, Sherry Elliker show. And since Jacob's in for Joe, we thought we could old school. Here we go. That's right.
Wow.
Wow, this is old school now?
Oldie, but a goodie. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank God management's listening. Gee whiz. You don't know, but you occasionally make appearances on the show every once in a while.
I think you mention it to me sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, the new song is the Biscuit one, is that right?
Oh, wow, you are really behind.
I am so glad management doesn't listen to this show. That's a little something I do where I jump into the news every day, Jacob.
You know that one.
All right. I'm going through the show. It's 3:30. I see nowhere on here that John gets recognized as Sting. I guess that's not important.
Well, I think it's important to you, so why don't we start with that?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay. Should have put more of a struggle. No, come on, John.
It's a great story. What? I saw the pictures and everything. It's really good. You've got to tell it.
Well.
Come on. You can do it.
I'm waiting. So yesterday, last night in New York City, I was doing a gig. And I was leaving the thing. I had past going through Times Square, and all the tourists are out there, and they got guys dressed up like Spider-Man, and all the people are out there taking photos. And these three, I would say semi-drunk, but not so drunk that they couldn't recognize who they were talking to. Excuse me, we're huge fans. And I was like, oh, wow. This show? All the way in New York?
Are they Zimbabwean or whatever?
Nigeria. I was like, thanks. And then the girl goes, we don't want to bother you, Sting, but can we just get a photo? So I let them take a couple. And I even threw in there, don't stand too close to me.
You started speaking in the voice.
I had a good accent.
Yeah, just speak, Sting.
And I couldn't remember what he sounded like.
Well, he has an accent.
So I did that. I said that. Okay. I said, don't stand so close to me.
Oh.
It's like a joke. Don't stand so close to me, right? And they're like, oh, we love that song. It's like, all right. So then I was not overly nice. So then they would go, we met Sting. He wasn't so friendly.
Wait, why? What do you have against Sting that you won't...
No, I just didn't know what he sounded like.
Okay.
I didn't want to be like, hey, so what's going on with you gals? Because I didn't know what he sounded like. I didn't want to give too much. So I just seemed... Yeah. And I also didn't want to seem... I thought if you see Sting in New York City walking down the street, he's not going to be like putting his arm around you and everything. He's kind of got a cool vibe. So,
Yeah. And he's probably not going to be in Times Square.
Walking by the naked cowboy or whatever he is. The Mickey Mouse with the backpack on, that guy.
But yeah, did you tell me you were in competition with the Elmo or something?
Well, I did. Okay. All right. Then, yeah. You know what I did? I did.
Heard it, move on.
I did kind of hang around a little longer thinking maybe some other people want to meet Sting.
Oh, boy.
And it was cold in New York. It was really cold. But I thought, you know, I'll do one more lap. What's a lap? Like six blocks? Six up, six back, six around, right? About a mile and a half is Sting. So,
do you think you might want to start traveling with your guitar to really kind of seal the deal?
No, it was just the day. Do you see the pictures?
I saw a picture.
I saw a picture of you. It looks like you're at a bar.
No, I was outside. That's right after I took the photo. And then I sent you a picture of Sting. It's pretty good. Come on!
Yeah.
Sting looks a lot older than you.
Yeah, I don't know that it's... we're flattering you by suggesting that you don't look that much like Sting, John.
Well... Apparently, Sting was having a good day while he's down there in Times Square around. All right.
Oh, yeah, you're in front of the M&M store.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought you were in a bar.
No, it was outside. That's right after the person said you look like the three girls. I was standing right there, and then And then the saddest part of it was, right after that, I had to go get something to eat. So then I ended up, I thought, God, I hope they don't see me again. Because then I was, then Sting was sitting, I'll show you where I was next. I went to go get a piece of pizza. So I was sitting in front of a giant pile of garbage. Yeah, I bet they would see me then. It would have been really sad.
Yeah, but if you're Sting, you'd be composting and like saving the rainforest,
right?
And whatever
and
with the garbage
back, and holding back orgasms.
That's right. You'd be doing yoga by the trash heap.
Anyway,
I think he and his wife Trudy, I think they own a bunch of strip clubs in New York. Or they're really into that.
So it's possible that they saw
it's possible.
Sting.
It's possible.
Okay. Because I've been Sting. I was Billy Idol once. Somebody asked me if I was Billy Idol. Now I was like, that's an insult. I saw what Billy Idol look like. I even gave him the thing where I put the fist towards the camera and did the upper lip thing like that. Wow.
That's nice, Dad.
Right. And so, just to be clear.
And I've also been Anderson Cooper.
That's Tim Gunn. I feel like you've gotten that one before.
It was Tim Gunn for a while there, yeah.
The photo John has sent Sherry and I is just of him standing in Times Square, which means that you took the photo with the women, and then afterwards, to commemorate the moment, you took a photo
just
yourself.
To see. That really looked like Sting, yeah. And some guy came by. They're always trying to get people to get on that tourist bus. Want to take that picture for you? We take that picture for you. Go, no, I'm just a quick shot of me.
Yeah, don't I'm Sting. I take selfies all the time.
don't need to explain it. I was going down real fast. I went from being Sting with all my gold albums to all of a sudden taking a picture of myself and then eating pizza next to a giant pile of garbage cans. I was coming down real fast. So, but yeah. You know what? Listen, here's the thing. It's a gift. It's a gift that I give these people. Because then all of a sudden they're like, they got a chance to meet Sting. So like they go to a party or something and people are throwing, oh, I met this guy. I met that guy. They're like, we met Sting. It's like, top that.
Yeah, but then they're going to take out the photo and it's going to immediately embarrass them that it's not actually Sting.
I'm telling you, Andrew's going to be the final verdict on this. You don't have to gild a lily on this. You just to flat out just let me know, okay? So hold on, Sherry. I'm gonna take my headset off for a second. Hang on.
Okay.
We do have other news, but you guys really want to hear the story.
Well, hang on. We'll get to that after we hear about the Billy Idol story. I just wonder. Sting is kind of a grouchy guy. Like right. He doesn't smile very much. He's always, I guess, the word would be intense. Mm-hmm. And I think John lacks that intensity that Sting has.
And better dressed, like more formally dressed than I think right. Sting ever really dresses.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Do you remember when Sting would wear those giant, like, this is probably way before your time, but he'd wear these big balloon-like pants?
Uh-huh. You know what Andrew said? Andrew.
I think my uncle could pass for Sting as well.
All right.
Hey, wait, Stella. Stella, you look just like Sting. What's going on?
Okay. All right. Again, a gift I give.
Okay.
Seattle City Council suddenly realizes they need to learn some economics. And, boy, they thought, well, what are you going to do? The old council came in and said, you know, we're going to make sure that these guys that are driving around for DoorDash and this other stuff, we're going to make sure they get paid the minimum wage or $26 an hour or whatever it was. So they step in and then they decide they're going to jack the price up. And then lo and behold, what? They end up, the guys that drive around on their bikes or they're walking or they're delivering these things don't make as much because when the price goes up, people buy less of it. That's economics. When the price of something goes up, people get less of it. When the price of something goes down, people buy more of it. So they jack the price up because they don't know what they're doing. And then these guys that were making $900 or something are now making hardly anything. So eventually, the city council is in there now. People came to me and said, you need to do something about this because, man, we are getting killed. No one is using us. No one's hiring us. The restaurants aren't getting the money. Nobody's getting the money. So what do you know? They decided they're going to take a better look at it because as it is right now, they need to
learn some economics.
Yep, they've got 70% fewer orders.
Wonder why. So if the price of something goes up, do people buy more of it or less of it? They buy less of it. So the poor guys that were driving around delivering chicken or whatever else they're delivering are sitting there not getting any calls. The restaurants aren't doing any business either. So they go back to the new city council and they say, do something about it. What do they want to do?
Well, they don't know yet. They realize that this is too much for the companies to have to shoulder. So right now they're requiring them to pay at least 44 cents per minute, 74 cents per mile, or a minimum of $5 per order. This, of course, gets passed on to the customer. So what they're thinking about doing is they still want to keep the wages. They know they can't get them to minimum wage, but they want to keep it higher for the drivers. So they think they're just going to have to reduce what the companies have to pay drivers or something, some other metric that's going to work for everybody.
Why don't they also ask the city council, the old council within there, or there's enough of those people still in there like that, what should it be the price of donuts? Why can't a third party determine the price of anything? A wage is a price and a price is a wage.
I love donuts so much.
I know you do, Sherry. So if a third party stepped in and said, all a dozen donuts should cost X, and they're basing that on whatever the reason, the same thing on this, they step in as a third party, you should get paid this amount of money. Based upon what? Based upon the 15 now, that garbage. And when they asked them why 15 now, they said they just sort of pulled that number out, 15. So they want to do a livable wage, and now these people, the true minimum wage is zero, because a lot of the people who are doing this job are quitting this job or trying to find something else because they're not making as much money as they were before. But with third party stepping in and determining the price of something, because a price is a wage and a wage is a price, why don't you have them determine the price of everything? Hamburgers and donuts and tires. Why doesn't a third party come in and determine it and then say that's what you have to pay? The customer really is the person that makes the ultimate decision. I like the article that was written. Whoever is defending it said, well, the problem is it's hurting the customers. No, it's not. The customers just aren't buying it. They don't want to spend the money to have the guy deliver the thing, because all of a sudden a burger that was $10 now has an extra $5 on top of this. They said, forget it. It's not worth it. I'm not going to do it. They're going to either go get the burger on their own or they're not going to buy it at all. You know, the third party, the government coming into determining what the value of something is. So they're going to, I think the people from DoorDash or whoever they in there pushing on it said, get rid of it entirely. It was working fine before. So
I think even the drivers would agree with that, because they're not making tips. That's the other thing, is if it's not done, and if it's not gone entirely, they see a reduction in tips, in a reduction in what kind of food they're getting. So they're trying to lower, the customer's trying to lower their price, and in effect, it lowers the driver's wage.
A perfect example is what happened in Minneapolis. So Minneapolis comes in there and says, for the Uber and the Lyft, you got to get paid this amount of money and this amount of money. Well, Lyft and Uber said to Minneapolis, we're moving out. May 1st, we're done. Because we can't do this. No one will buy it. No one will buy the service. It's way too expensive. So we're gone. No, they don't care about Minneapolis. And the people of city council, radical city council in Minneapolis, are like, oh, yeah, you're just bluffing. No, they're not. What do they care? They're going to go. So everybody that was driving for Uber or Lyft, most of them are immigrants to the country. They don't have a big education. It's a job for them. It's what they do. And the city council steps in, you should get paid more money, and we're going to determine what that price is. Well, the price will be the true minimum wage, which will be $0 when Lyft and Uber decide to leave, because they jacked the price up too high, and it's too expensive, and people aren't going to do it. And the same sort of thing that happens here, they would, if they didn't do anything to adjust it, it would go out of business, and the people wouldn't make any money.
Well, and Minneapolis is in a bind, because back in 2015, that was at the height of the taxicab season, or the taxicab thing. They had 1,385 taxis.
Mm.
In 2024, they have 14. That's it.
14.
Yes. And so what are people going to do? They bring up the point that there's elderly people and there's people with disabilities that rely on Lyft and Uber to get them where they need to be.
Right.
And this is destroying it for them. Other people are saying they're bluffing. Lyft and Uber, they have like 400,000 rides a week. They're not going anywhere. They're just saying that.
Yeah, they're gone. And then somebody in the state government there said, well, I know what we'll do. Let's develop a government-run rideshare. Or they also said, well, if we don't do that, then you know somebody else will step in and pick up. What? Who's somebody else? Who else has the capital and the infrastructure to all of a sudden start a rideshare program like that?
more so than Uber or Lyft, which are already established, you know? Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Learn some economics. Scream it out, old man.
Learn some economics.
There you go. And by the way, Sherry, got some bad news for you.
Graham died alone.
Yeah, there's an oldie but a goodie.
I didn't know that. I would have been there.
I know. That's an oldie but a goodie. Bob Ferguson. Do we have time for this? Ferguson on there. Who talked to him? King Five?
Yeah, Mickelson.
They ask him any good questions? They open him up like a soft peanut?
I think there's some interesting stuff in there.
Okay,
there's
for later.
Some stuff that they kind of do a little bit of a gotcha kind of at the end.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, good. Okay, we'll stick around for that one. Plus, AI.
Oh, that's a tease.
I heard somebody say that AI would not replace nurses because people need the human touch. But apparently, would you trust an AI nurse, Sherry?
Yes, because the things that they're having them do, really, it doesn't have anything to do with diagnostics or anything like that. It's basically just checking people out. These are your, you know, discharge records. These are your this. These are your this. So, yeah, I don't. Rather than wait around for a nurse to come in and hurriedly giving you, you know, all these papers and whatever, yeah, I'd rather have the AI do it.
Okay. You concerned about Graham?
It's too late for Graham.
Yeah, he was treated by an AI nurse.
Yeah, sure, that's what you did. There you go, Jacob. Look at Jacob. Funny. Jacob's on the board of funny already. It's a Friday. That means the know-it-all quiz is coming up. We're going to give you a whole box of Bite Me cookies. All you got to do is text Jacob with one interesting thing about yourself to the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. The 1-888-973-5476. Teeny right over there. Hi, Teeny. Oh, she's sad. She didn't get Employee of the Week.
Oh, believe
it. It's all right, Teeny. It's all right. It's all right. Get them next week. Four questions. I got to write four. Four questions of stories we're going to cover in the next 2 hours. I'm going to test your deep knowledge of the show, just stuff we've talked about. And then get on the air. Who knows? You get discovered. You could be a big radio star. AI nurses, you've already given us your opinion on it, Sherry. I thought you'd hold something back. Thanks a lot for being a professional. but apparently...
because I always know...
What?
What's going to happen next.
What do you mean?
I didn't know you'd go back to it.
Well, we ran out of time. I was too busy. You guys want to hear all about Sting.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Of course, the nurses and nurse associations say this is a terrible idea, an awful idea. But the people that are pushing this said, listen, a nurse is going to cost $35 to $90 an hour. They got the 90 from the traveling nurses during the whole COVID crap. But they said on average, $35 for a nurse an hour. You get this AI in there. You're going to be able to take care of a whole bunch of stuff. There's a nursing shortage. Nurses say, well, the shortage is there because you're not hiring enough of us because you're trying to keep the cost down. So that's why we're so tired and so burned out. And that's why there's a shortage. It's because the nurses that are in there, it's a miserable job for them. If you hired more nurses, you wouldn't have the burnout. So along comes AI with a nurse.
This is what we're doing.
I'm Rachel, your AI care manager. How are you doing after your appendectomy?
By the way, she's on a screen. It just looks like a human being, and she seems very caring.
You know, I'm good. I'm glad to be home with my dog, Dennis. It's great to hear that you're back home with Dennis. I noticed that Dr. Chang has prescribed you some antibiotics, specifically ciprofloxacin and metronidazole, due to your ruptured appendix. Were you able to get these medications?
I was. I did forget to mention to the doctor that I am allergic to penicillin. Is it still okay to take the medications?
Great question. The antibiotics you've been prescribed, ciprofloxacin and metronidazole, don't contain penicillin.
So, should we be hearing this on the air? Isn't this HIPAA? We're hearing all about our medical problems.
It's not real.
I think this is great.
Wow.
I mean, really, I think it's so efficient. Listen to how she knew the answers to the questions and she even knew her dog's name. Like, I thought it was really good.
So it's perfectly safe for you to take them. Can you begin taking them today?
Yeah, I certainly can. Do you have any tips for a faster recovery?
Given that you have diabetes,
keeping your blood.
This woman's a wreck. She's
her appendix blew up. She's got diabetes.
She looks perfectly healthy. She's like in her 30s. Your dog is looking at her like, am I going to left on my own?
Adopt me.
Yeah, she says to the AI nurse, let's get an AI dog in there to feed me.
Be beneficial for your wound healing.
Wound healing? What did they do to her?
Your hemoglobin A1C was at a healthy level of 5.5.
Oh, thank God. She's a death's door for that until that hemoglobin came in.
But your glucometer readings from yesterday were a bit on the high side. Oh. So keep taking your metformin and try.
Dog's like, give me 2 days, I'm going to have this woman eaten.
To steer clear of foods high in carbs. How does that sound to you?
No answer because the woman's died.
She's dead.
I think I'll be able to avoid the carbs for the week. You know, I need to go right now, but it was great talking to you.
Oh.
He's too busy.
Sorry.
I didn't listen anymore.
Graham died alone.
Wait a minute. Wait. Who had to go? Did the patient go or the lady
go?
Yeah,
the patient was...
She's like, I got sugar to eat. Okay. I got to go.
Okay. I'm glad we had this talk.
Yeah.
I'll pass along your progress to Dr. Chang.
There's blood spurting out of her neck. The AR nurse doesn't say anything.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Okay.
I knew Sherry would like that the robot knew the dogs.
Yeah. That's what I thought too.
I think, how much more could you ask for? There's no pauses. She gets the answers right away. You don't have to worry about her shuffling around. Well, let me see what Dr. Chang put in your chart. Okay. Well, it looks
and
like.
And then they I do mean, the thing where they like quietly curse the doctor under their breath.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me.
I'm surprised you got 15 minutes with him.
Right. Oh, no, but he's great, though.
He's good. Genius. He's good. Yeah. Can't read his writing. That's what he said here.
Yeah. I've been in his job for 25 years. Yeah. I feel like a flight attendant sometimes. I don't want to be bitter, but I am.
Yeah, she got a stethoscope with a whole bunch of like little rubber animals hooked onto him. Ever seen that?
So yes. So I'm telling you, this is such a better thing. It's so nice. She knows stuff. She's like communicative. Yeah, I would trust her.
Okay. All right. Does she treat me like Sting?
Well, let's face it. It's AI, so she's very impressionable. So you could say something like, I've been worried about every breath I take. Every move I make.
She'd be right there for me.
And she'll be like, oh, you must be Sting.
Yes, I am. I'm Sting. I was hanging out eating pizza in Times Square the other day. Sherry, speaking of music, thank you, Andrew. Tennessee becomes the first U.S. state with laws protecting musicians from AI. Hey, Jacob, you weren't here, and obviously don't listen to the show, which is both good and bad. That there was an app or an AI thing that Joe was really fascinated by. You just type in like 3 or 4 words or 5 words or something, and it would write a song. The feature of the song, whatever you want the song to be, was pretty amazing because it would come up like in 2 minutes. We'd have the song. So I guess Tennessee wants to try to protect musicians when it comes to the original content that they're creating. I don't know how they're going to do this because AI is not going to exist in Tennessee.
They're calling it the Ensuring Likeness, Voice, and Image Security Act, or Elvis.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah, you like that? Mm. And this will be protections from for performers and songwriters, and it protects them against the misuse of their voice. I agree. It'll be up to the performer probably to alert somebody if they feel as though somebody has used their likeness or used their songs or something, music, in another way. But yeah, so they're the first state that's actually taken action on something like this and made it a law.
Yeah, but it inside Tennessee, I guess if its music is recorded and copyrighted, but copyrights are federal or international. I don't know how they put up the wall to try to stop this sort of stuff from happening. Here's an example of what we typed in lemon. Why were you talking about lemons? I forget why we were talking about lemons. But Joe put lemon in there and something else in there, a few words. And within two or less than a minute, about the time it took for Joe to cough up a big, like, thick, mucusy laugh.
Come on, he doesn't feel good.
He sounds like that all the... That's what he sounds like.
What?
Listen to it again. Here it is again. That was him thinking. That was him thinking out loud.
Well, that's the best I've got of him making that kind of noise.
Yeah, here he is.
So wait, that was really him?
Oh. You'd make a great AI nurse, Sherry. Okay, here's a song came up in less than 1 minute.
Okay, for this prompt, I'm saying write a song about going from rags to riches and becoming the largest supplier of lemons. You own the lemon market and have a lemon monopoly.
Okay.
You are a rich, evil, lemon fat cat. All right, go for it. We're really going to push this thing to its limits today. Let's see our Lemon Empire song.
From rags to riches, I rose from the dirt. A lemon in hand, my fortune's dessert. I squeezed out the tang, unleashed my might.
It was a minute.
Uh-huh.
Less than a minute for the guys to have that thing come up. It was crazy. Then we played another one, was the Wonka song, but we couldn't understand that one. And then we made another one with something we had been talking about. And it was like, yeah, that sounds like a pop song. Right, Sherry?
It sounds like a 90s grunge song. Yeah, it does. It does.
How does it crescendo here? How's everybody coming in? It's no Roxanne, but it's okay. Sherry, you were in rare form in the pre-show meeting.
Really?
Yeah, you were just shooting down everything.
Why, that's not rare form. That's regular.
I'm like, rah, 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 rah. I don't like this, don't like that. Gwyneth Paltrow, rah. She was on this show where it's a TV show or cable show. I don't know what it is, but
YouTube.
YouTube, thank you. And you, they've got chips there and hot sauce. As you answer questions as the interview goes along, they continue to have you eat hotter and hotter sauce. I guess that's the premise of the thing. So when they interview you while they're talking to you, I guess it gets so hot, your eyes get all watery and everything. But it didn't stop Gwyneth Paltrow from getting upset about Bill Clinton.
Is it true that Bill Clinton passed out asleep during a White House screening of Emma?
True. He was snoring right in front of me. I was like, wow, I guess this is going to be a real hit movie. But it was, so you, Bill Clinton.
Wow.
No. Oh. Hilarious. I mean, isn't it a little tacky to say that to a former president? I mean, somebody gracious.
Was it
say,
really a hit movie?
I didn't see it.
Wait a minute. We had the meeting. You're like, oh, what a snoozer movie.
Yeah, because that's why I wouldn't go see it, because it was something that looked boring. And she... Why didn't she just say, I know he has a tough job, he was probably really tired that day? But she's so haughty, you know, she's like better than everybody, and of course you can't fall asleep at my movie.
Well, listen, if the guy brings it up, because somebody brings it up, and then it's like,
right,
that's something at least to talk to her about, right, that Bill Clinton was sitting there during the movie and fell asleep?
Yes. No, it's a fair question. I just think she answered it kind of... in a tacky way.
Okay. You don't like her dropping the F-bomb on Bill Clinton?
Not really. I mean...
You probably don't like her candles that smell like her, right? Either.
I have not experienced that.
Do you know what those are?
I've heard something, yeah.
Yes. It's her website, Goop.
Right. Yes. Here's the movie that you missed, Sherry.
Okay.
This is the scene where Knightley, I think, proposes to her. You probably remember it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She fell asleep for this part.
Yeah, here it is. Hang on a second. Let me just play that for you here. Yeah, let's see this one. Exciting.
Dear Lord, if he cannot share...
Uh-oh. What happened?
Am I...
I fell asleep right away.
He imposed on me, but he has not injured me.
Yes. He got everything he wanted at... great expense to others and at no cost to himself.
I think the president's asleep.
He offends deeply.
You can hardly hear the movie.
Does he have his sleep apnea machine on?
Did I mention that we are having a new drain installed?
You will not ask me the point of my envy.
This is where Gwyneth Paltrow says, I'm going to put one of my candles under his nose. That'll wake him up.
I cannot be wise. Emma, I must tell you what you will not ask. Though I may wish it unsaid the next moment.
Do not speak it. Do not commit yourself to something which may injure us both to have said.
It's kind of relaxing.
Yeah, but here's some presidential etiquette. So let's say it's a, you know, it's British, so it's kind of a quiet movie and whatever.
Yes.
What if he's starting to snore at like the really important parts? Does anybody have the guts to be like, hey,
roll over? What do you mean the important parts?
I don't know. I mean, there's always something important in a movie. Maybe he asked her to marry him or something like that.
Should we be the only radio show that has 3 hours of snoring underneath us talking?
I think there's more than one person doing that. It's probably a collective out there.
But. I went to a Broadway show and I thought, you know, I don't see many shows. So I went to see Days of Wine and Roses, which is an incredibly depressing movie with Jack Lemmon from the 50s or something. Why they turned it into a musical, I don't know. I said, well, to support local actors and stuff, I'll sit right down front. I'll give them all the, you know, eye contact, or at least I'll be really present for them. Like 20 minutes in, I was like, God, I'm falling asleep. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. And a couple of scenes came right over. Like, I know they could see me. And I was like trying to perk back up again.
I mean, I fall asleep in movies all the time, especially when we sneak beer in. And then I'm just, I finally have an opportunity to just sit and relax and do nothing.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing.
No, that's terrible. That's awful. That was my favorite part.